What's up, everybody? This is John Doherty, founder of GetCredo.com. Welcome to the CredoCast. Today, I have with me Brittany Muller, who is the SEO and content architect at Moz, where we talk about what she learned, no indexing 75% of Moz's user profiles, optimizing meta descriptions and rich snippets, and many other lessons that she's learned over the last year, increasing their organic traffic. I hope you enjoy.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome back. Today, I have with me Brittany Muller, who is with Moz, who actually just relocated to Seattle from Denver. So I've known Brittany for a number of years now. And actually, a funny story for you is the first time I ever met Brittany, it was at MozCon in 2013, I want to say. And I actually thought that she worked for Moz. I was like, you work for Moz, right? And she's like, no, I don't. It was like in the lunch line or something like that. And then funny enough, three, four years later, Brittany joined Moz. And so Brittany is now, what's your official title over there?
It is SEO and content architect.
SEO and content architect. So Brittany is basically responsible for improving the organic visibility of Moz.com, which if you've been in the SEO world at all, you've read their blog posts and know that they're an SEO and inbound marketing software company. And if you've been watching these videos, I had Rand on the show recently. So Brittany, if you would, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you're up to these days, and also how you got into this crazy SEO and digital marketing industry.
Yeah, so that's kind of a weird story. So I'm originally from Minnesota, went to University of Minnesota and graduated with a major in strategic communications public relations.
Really?
And I just couldn't find it, it was so kind of random. But after college, I could not find a job that I wanted. So I ended up just packing up my car and moving out to Breckenridge, Colorado to snowboard as much as possible. That was just kind of my goal, was to fulfill my sort of dream of being a snowboard bum for a season or two. So while I was doing that, I got stir crazy pretty quickly. There wasn't a whole lot to do. So I started writing for a local realtor who introduced me to just basic programming and SEO. And the second I found out that I can figure out how many searches there are for ski in, ski out, Peak 9, Breckenridge, single family home, my life was forever changed. So it just became a big chess game for me. So I started manipulating very strange things. I got into some trouble with some large national brands because I was ranking above them. But it was just kind of like a big game for me, and I wanted to see if I could do it. And then I joined an agency in Vail for a year, and then after that broke off and started Pride Marketing, where we did strategic data-driven medical marketing. And then from that, I kind of reached the traditional entrepreneurial burnout, as you would say, and just decided I kind of needed a change of course after 5-6 years of doing that. So jumped on board with Moz, and it's been awesome.
That's amazing. So you joined Moz beginning of this year-ish, is that right?
I joined Moz mid-July 2016.
That long ago. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Gotcha. So, well, A, I didn't know that Pride just focused on medical marketing. That's really, really interesting. You know, the power of niching, you know, niching down and, you know, finding exactly like, you know, what you're good at and what you enjoy as well. What I wanted to talk about today is, so obviously you're at Moz, and Moz is a huge website. And it's also a leader in the SEO space. Like if you work in SEO or you do any SEO, like, you know, as a business owner or anything like that, like you've heard of Moz basically. And if you haven't heard of Moz, then you know Rand, who had the ridiculous mustache for a while. But so you came on as the SEO and content architect over a year ago. And I know that you gave a fantastic talk at MozCon this year, MozCon 2017. So MozCon obviously is Moz's annual customer conference. And I saw, like, I really wanted to be there, you know, for your talk to see it. And I saw amazing tweets and all that. Everyone was just like, Brittany did an insane job. And then I started kind of digging into, which, congratulations, like biggest
thank
stage
you.
In the marketing world. That's super cool.
Thank you.
Well deserved as well, of course. But I heard that you basically talked about how you what the work that you've been doing over the last year or so to really improve Moz's organic reach. And so that's what I wanted to dig into. I don't know too much beyond it from that, but I think it's really interesting to talk about a case study like yours, being very transparent and literally telling us, like, what are the things that you went and did? You know, where did you start if you have a ginormous website like this, that there's a ton of opportunity, but you also have, you know, a ton of like low quality stuff. So where, can you tell us that story?
Yeah. So it's super interesting. I mean, I did what any of us would do when you start at a new big company. And I did the full technical audit. I mean, I ran the gamut on everything. And something that kept sort of popping up for me and I noticed over and over again was whenever I would try to dig into the site's index pages in search, so whenever I would do site:moz.com, I would take a really, really close look at that, at the first 100 results, so those first 10 pages. And what I noticed was over 56% of those were spammy community profile pages.
Wow.
And right, yeah, like 56%, it was insane. And they were doing well. And these people had, you know, whether they were bot created or not, they had pointed thousands of backlinks to them. And there's just so much spam around that whole area of the site.
And we're literally talking tens of thousands of pages here, right?
Yes. Yeah. That have been around forever.
Yeah.
You know, so that was a huge red flag for me just in the scheme of things. And I knew that eliminating those could make a huge impact overall. So yeah, that's sort of where I started, was which of these changes are relatively easy that can make the biggest impact. And so sitting down with some of the developers, we were discussing options to meta no index profile pages under 200 points, mm-hmm, and then start to clean out some of this stuff. And the results that we saw were absolutely phenomenal. I mean, almost instantly, organic traffic went up, rankings went up. I like to think it sort of reconsolidated our own site authority, you know, and really cleaned up our index. Yep. So I love to kind of share that story and some insights, but something that I have heard a lot back from after the conference, mm-hmm, is people trying to do this. And there are many really skilled SEOs that might have a hard time implementing something like a meta no index just because they haven't done it before. Mm-hmm. So the most common mistake I see people making is they meta no index a bunch of pages, but they still have those pages on a disallow in their robot's text file.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're disallowing the bots from crawling those pages in the first place, they're not going to respect or pick up your meta no index.
Right.
So I think that's an important weird little nuance to make. And when we did it, I even left we had a profiles sitemap, community profile, mm-hmm, sitemap that, mm-hmm, I left in place for a while just to make sure that those were all being seen by the crawlers.
Yeah. How long did you leave that in place?
I would say maybe like 2 weeks.
Okay.
A week, yep, to 2 weeks. Yeah.
And you watched that sitemap or that like set of sitemaps to see, did you split out these like low quality ones into its own separate sitemap and submit that separately, or how'd you go about that?
No, because I wanted them all to be sort of recrawled anyways. So whether or not, you know, they had 5 points or 500 points, I wanted, mm-hmm, it to be evaluated and then cleaned out. So, gotcha. And then after that, I did remove the profile sitemap, and now, so if someone leaves a comment link, that will be followed to their profile page. And that's a more natural way for the Googlebot to pick those up. But initially with all of those no indexes, you know, I just needed to make sure that those were being picked up.
Gotcha. So you didn't actually go and delete those pages, those like low quality user profiles off the site?
Nope.
Okay.
And it was relatively simple. It was just through htaccess. So yep, it was just a rewrite. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Super. Yeah. Not that hard. So, and then what's the logic behind the, you know, if someone first question is, what's the logic behind if someone, you know, that has one of these profiles that's underneath 200 points leaving that, having a followed link, like from the, you know, from the comment that they make on a blog post back to their profile that's no indexed. At some point, basically, do you plan to, like, if they, you know, like, I mean, A, you're trying to encourage, like, more engagement, right?
Right.
But also, so do you remove the no index, you know, automatically when someone hits 200 points?
Yes.
Okay. And why did you settle on 200 points?
That we had a couple meetings on it, and that was sort of the comfortable level that everyone felt, because I think it was already in the guidelines. I would have to check to make sure, but I believe it was already in the guidelines that if you reach 200, your website link becomes a do follow on your profile.
Right.
So that was still sort of in play. And then we thought in order to respect that, we would remove it at 200.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Because then also those profiles have, you know, more comments on them, and they're much more likely to have filled out their information. And so it's really like a robust, like, profile for someone in the SEO industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Exactly.
Interesting. So what sort of lift did you see?
Ooh, I should bring up my slides.
Yeah.
So I'm not just like making up numbers. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Let's see. It honestly, the whole thing really surprised all of us.
Yeah.
Just because I think those pages had been around for so long, mm-hmm. I think it sent a really, really big signal when we did that. You know, it was
totally.
Tens of thousands of pages.
Yeah, right. I mean, Moz is not a small website.
No.
I mean, you have, I'm just doing your site, colonmoz.com search, and I see 45,000. Well, actually, that's really interesting, because I see 45,300 results. I don't know if those are being filtered at all. So basically, like, you know, index like a third of your site.
Oh, yeah. So when I started, there was over 100,000 index pages.
Okay.
Here. Oh, okay. So I stand corrected. When I started, there was 175,000 index pages.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So you've literally cut that down by, you've removed 75% of your pages from the index.
Yeah.
Wow.
So let's see, to get to like specific results here. It was crazy how spammy some of them were.
Yeah.
So at the time when I did site:moz.com community users, mm-hmm. there was 71,500 community user profiles, and I brought that down to 1,490.
Wow.
And the result was we saw a lift in organic users almost 9% the following month.
Wow.
And
across
the
site.
Yeah. And then we saw a lift of 13.7% year over year for organic traffic the following month.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And that's just continued to build.
Yeah. I would say as of lately, we've sort of plateaued a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I'm kind of working on with a bunch of new interesting projects, mm-hmm. just because I've been doing so much speaking. So it's really hard to juggle all that stuff. But what I'm working on now is trying to implement a better data-driven sitemap. Mm-hmm. You know, I think all too often we just throw up kind of almost shitty sitemaps, you know,
pages,
based on, why don't we do it based on popular pages or pages that get tons of traffic. So
mm-hmm.
that's kind of what I'm trying to work on next, to get some of that stuff reevaluated.
Interesting. Very cool. I think this is an interesting point to kind of underscore. I mean, I work with very large websites, million plus page websites. And, you know, in the past, I mean, think pre-Panda days, right? So pre like the low quality content days, basically, you would want to spin up as many pages as you could to get traffic, right? And not necessarily like, you know, spammy user profiles, right? But just like all these different crazy combinations, even like misspellings back in the day. Like people would purposefully like target pages with misspellings, right? Crazy.
Oh my God, that's
and
right.
Of course, Panda came in, what, February, I think it was February 24th, 2011. And it was just like, boom, it was like apocalypse, right? And then like a year later in April, it was Penguin, you know, spammy links. But it's really interesting to me how over the last 5-6 years, I've seen time and time again, I did it on Hotpads, I've done it on other clients, where when you eliminate a ton of these like user generated, super low quality, you know, a lot of them duplicate content, especially on like marketplaces and e-commerce websites, you know, you're really putting like, you see a good uplift. I mean, yeah, 9%, 13%, you know, that sort of thing. Like that's not uncommon to see. You're putting more wood behind your arrows.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah,
exactly.
So they're not wasting their time. Did you do any like, did you go deeper into like, you know, analyzing your log files and seeing like what they were spending time on and that sort of thing?
Oh, John, I need you here, dude. I have been after our developers for so long to get me those log files, but the way our server's set up, we're not capturing them because of the load balancer.
Oh, okay. Yep.
So they need to create like a separate cache for me, but that's something that I have not gotten yet. I'm dying to see it though, just because Search Console tells us nothing.
Right.
Like literally nothing.
Totally.
So I'm so frustrated. I would love to get my hands on like how it's all resolving, where is it going, what pages does it hit over and over, all that good stuff.
Gotcha. Stay tuned. That's right. We'll do a we'll do another version once you've gotten those. Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah, totally. So what else have you done? I mean, over the last, you've been there a year, 15 months ish. Like what are, obviously you're doing a lot of speaking. Every time I look at your like Instagram story, you're like somewhere else just speaking at a conference.
I know. This year's been crazy.
Yeah. But what are some of the other like things like, I guess campaigns or initiatives that you've undertaken there at Moz that have helped you, you know, see results on a site like this?
Yeah, so it's funny. I have a lot of fun just being a creep on our GitHub repositories and seeing what things have been done in the past. So like, I found one pull request from like years ago that talked about Google Juice. Like, we're Moz. It's just hilarious.
Yeah.
So, but essentially what the pull request was about was improper use of rel canonicals for our local pages that were still in place as of a couple months ago. Finding things like that and fixing them and seeing the immediate lift, I have a lot of fun doing. So I'm really trying to work on that stuff, as well as just experimenting with schema, experimenting with our featured snippets. That's kind of an ongoing campaign right now. I've done a lot of title tag meta description testing that has been actually kind of hilarious.
Really?
Because,
Tell me about that.
Okay, so I initially thought going into this test where I took, I want to say maybe 60 or 70 pages. No, probably more around like 100. But I bucketed them into control groups, right? And then ones where I was just changing the title, ones where I was just changing the meta, and ones where I changed both. And then evaluating all the metrics after. And in doing this,
all of them, you benchmark like traffic, click-through, click-through rate, all that stuff. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is fun because it's something I haven't even really talked to anyone about. But
All right. But yeah, so we were talking about these title tag tests that you were doing where you bucketed them into separate groups, control and then experimental, benchmark them. Let's go from there.
Okay. So I thought we could cast a far wider net by maybe simplifying some of the titles and by kind of going from instead of, so this is an example, instead of SEO best practices for URLs, I changed it to, so stupid, what is a URL? And then in parentheses, uniform resource locator, question mark. And it went from a 5.6% click-through rate to 2.99.
Okay.
not, wow. not, so that's like a great, wrong and I way. Did that, yeah, wrong way. Yeah. So the more broad and kind of oversimplified I created these things, the worse we ended up doing. Another example, let's see, is like I changed our domain's SEO best practices to what is a domain name. Mm-hmm. That went from 5.25 to 1.95 click-through rate.
Huh.
But the things that did work consistently across the board was when I really just simplified the titles that were already in place and then provided the answer in the meta description. So when I was testing both, I would do on-site research as to what keywords are people currently coming into this page for. Mm-hmm. So an example is, you know, in Moz Pro, how you have your search visibility score.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's always like, what is search visibility? So right. For that page, instead of it being guide to search visibility in Moz Pro rankings, I changed it to what is search visibility, and then I provide the answer, and it went from a 2.5% click-through rate to over 7% click-through rate.
Wow.
So that was kind of like the big awakening for, you know, in at least this case where we're right. providing these educational resources is right. you don't want to go too oversimplified and you do just want to kind of answer those questions.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. That makes, that's really, well, and that one specifically was a, like, it's like a Moz specific question, right?
Right. Right.
Why do you think the others, you know, that you tested going, you know, going broader from like SEO best practices, why do you think that one, I mean, did you lose rankings? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we
did. So is it that you basically like de-optimized it away from like, you know, SEO best practices? And so like you weren't getting it. You weren't targeting those keywords anymore.
Exactly. It was way too broad. And there were already so many broad resources out there that were sort of better suited and less technical than our, you know, SEO best practices for URLs. Mm-hmm. So I think Google picked up on that and was like, no, I don't think so. You know?
Huh. Interesting. Yeah. Have you done anything around like when you do have a, you know, a broad, you know, topic like that, but then that, you know, you're identifying that there are multiple, it's ranking kind of for, you know, other head terms and then building out like resource content around that. Like, I know you guys have done a ton around like your resource content on the site. I've seen those guides and all that. Like, can you give us any like insight into that?
So that's kind of been shuffled around so much lately with the new Learn Center that I haven't been able to nail any of that down. Cause we're just still in the process of like transferring a lot of things from their old addresses to their new. So that's something we're just kind of currently making sure is well adjusted before we tweak anything there.
Gotcha. So you're basically migrating that content right now and then you'll start like tweaking it.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. Yeah. And that's, I mean, I think that's an interesting topic. I know Moz has talked about, I know Rand's talked about a lot around like, you know, moving content from like, you know, a subdomain to a subfolder, then shortening the URL like that sort of thing. I mean, is that like an ongoing thing that y'all are doing? Cause you know that it works. I mean, other people in the industry will naysay it and be like, yeah, whatever. It could be this, that, or the other thing. But I mean, I've seen it a lot of times. Is that something you guys are investing down in doing?
So that's not primarily what we're focused on. It's more of a CMS thing for us right now and just making it more accessible for people internally to make those changes. Mm-hmm. So we don't currently have much educational resources, if any, that I can recall currently living on a subdomain, but we do want them to be in more kind of mindful URL structures and places on the site.
Yeah.
Something that we have kind of experimented a bit with that I stumbled upon months after I started, but we rank for so many featured snippets, like over 550 some featured snippets on Moz.com. But
wow.
And I was trying for the longest time, John, to like get new stuff into featured snippets, and it started driving me crazy because they're so hard to get and they're a lot of them are really competitive and super tricky. And so I had this like light bulb moment of, wait a second, what if I stop trying to get featured snippets and I start trying to lose them?
Okay.
I sabotaged quite a few of our featured snippets just to figure out what that would be, right? What is the thing that I can tweak just enough to see us lose it? Right. And it would surprise you. I started adding typos in meta descriptions.
Okay.
And we would lose them. And these are meta descriptions that weren't even showing up in the featured snippet at all.
Right, right.
But having that misspelling what caused us to lose quite a few. And then reformatting pages was kind of the other big one I noticed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, super, super interesting stuff. I still want to play around more with that, but I realize I gotta be careful too. So
totally, totally. Yeah, yeah. No, and I think it's cool that you're able to, you know, test that sort of thing, and basically like you have the, you know, the levity to, you know, reverse engineer it and say like, okay, we have these. Now if I remove, you know, if I do this one test, okay, now we lost it. Let me add that back in. Okay, now we got it.
Yeah.
All right. That's a feature snippet like ranking factor basically, right?
Exactly.
So yeah, those are super important, super interesting like lessons to learn there.
Yep.
Cool. Was fun. Very cool. Yeah. Well, Brittany, thank you for taking this time to chat with me. I've really enjoyed it. I love hearing how, you know, sites like Moz are doing SEO themselves and the stuff that you're learning. I think there's a lot of takeaways. I mean, from this one, definitely like, I mean, high signal to noise ratio. Like you reduce the noise on your site by, I mean, I'm amazed that you've eliminated like 75% of your index pages. Like that's a ballsy move, and most companies like won't do it. But you really show that like in certain situations, right? Like if you have a lot of low quality stuff and all that, like it can actually show a really good, you know, improvement for you. You know, it's something that was holding you back. And honestly, that you can even do that without, you know, going to your log files and saying like, you know, okay, like where are they spending a lot of time? I mean, if you had seen those, you probably would have been like, oh wow, they're spending 70% of their time on this stuff that's not going to rank for anything. Like how can we, you know, how can we move that? I like that you're taking like a very data-driven approach to it. And, you know, hopefully this will also help out other people that, you know, have a large website or, you know, have a ton of like low quality pages on their site to actually, you know, start running some of these tests, you know, if they're able to.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, very cool. Awesome. Well, Brittany, as I said, thank you for spending time with me today. Where can people find you online if they want to learn more about you, about Moz, about the work you're doing at Moz?
Yeah, I think the easiest way is probably Twitter. So it's just Brittany Muller is my handle, exactly how you would spell my name, BrittneyMuller.
Okay.
That's probably the best way, yeah.
Awesome, good stuff. Well, Brittany, thank you for, thanks again, and enjoy your time up there in Seattle, and hopefully I'll see you back down here in Denver soon.
Will do. Thanks so much, John.